Perfect.
Yes, hello everyone. How's it going? What's the crack? My name is Michael and welcome back. Finally, welcome back to a brand new episode of the McLav podcast. It has been an age, an absolute eternity since I have recorded an episode, as I am so frequently reminded by quite a few people. But I'm back, finally recording an episode. I don't know whether I'm recording this out of boredom or procrastination or peer pressure. I suppose I should start off by mentioning the few people that have been, for lack of a better word, in a positive way, rhyming on at me to record. And I'm very grateful because I know they listen and I'm very appreciative for that. So to Adam, Sean and Smitty and Doot as well, thank you very kindly, gentlemen, for your words of pressure and your words of wisdom. So here you go. Here's your reward. Me rambling on about precisely nothing for the next, I don't know, will I get to 10 minutes? Will I get to 15? I don't know. Basically, this episode is just going to be a recap of the weekend I spent in London and the things that I got up to. It was an absolutely fantastic weekend. London is my favourite city in the world, without a doubt. Now, that is a prejudgment, saying as I've never been to New York, and I fully expect that if and when I do go to New York, New York will take that title. However, up until the present day, London is my favourite city in the world, and for a multitude of reasons, perhaps for reasons that others would strictly disagree with or would just find weird, but I love London for obviously the city itself, but the accessibility. You know, people mention about playing on traveling on the tubes. I enjoy it that much. I refer to it as playing on the tubes, just getting on the train and going wherever you want. The sights, the bars, and then obviously this weekend was very heavily sports orientated as well, and it was an absolutely fantastic weekend. So for those that don't know, I had the opportunity to go down on Friday. This was the first of 2 weeks where the NFL was playing in London in Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And on Friday morning, I was at perhaps the fanciest place I've ever been in my life. I was at the Grove Hotel in Watford. The Grove Hotel in Watford, which is just outside London, for the Atlanta Falcons NFL team. Their training, their practice, you know, as part of... How would I describe it? My journalism duties. I was there on behalf of the Irish NFL show. Again, big mention, big thanks to those lads for sending me down there. And it was an absolutely unbelievable experience. I arrived Friday morning. And basically this hotel, it's got like half the countryside itself. For reference, it's £1,800 a night just to stay there. And then there's little old me, little old Lurgan me, rocking up in an Uber, in a Toyota Prius Uber. And, you know, first of all, so embarrassing when you're in a place like that. You're expected to be, you know, rich and have a sense of decorum about you. The way the Uber pulled up to the front door, it was parked at a bit of an angle, and I couldn't open the back door. Every time I opened the back door of the car to get out, it closed in my face. So I was just struggling, pushing against it back and forth like two or three times until the concierge, or I believe that's the right word, the man at the door, anyway, come out. And he was dressed in a super long, like, tweed trench coat and had like a top, like a paddy hat, you know, like an old man Irish cap. And it was like, "Good morning, sir. You're most welcome to the Grove Hotel. How may I be of assistance to you this morning?" And at that point, I immediately realised that I was miles out of my depth and way too poor to be anywhere near that. However, I told him what I was there for, and he sent me over in the right direction. And the grounds of the place are just phenomenally fancy. You know, this massive hotel, these private grounds, private golf course on it. And then we were in these sort of walled gardens, and the free cookies that they give out, and I'm not exaggerating, is probably the nicest thing I've ever tasted, sweet wise. Not just because it was free, but because it was honest to God, just delicious. So you spend, the way this worked is you go in, you get your accreditation, sort of your pass to say that you're allowed to be there. And then you spend a bit of time just waiting because all the press stuff was all done under the direction of the Falcons PR team. Basically, they control you and say what you're allowed to show, what you're not allowed to show, what you're allowed to, not what you're allowed to ask, but, you know, if something was a bit, out there, a bit risky, you know, they would cut it off. So you mingle about in that area for a bit. And then you're called over to the field where the team's practicing. But in that time, it was just completely surreal. I was seeing people from the industry that I want to work in and just, you know, brushing shoulders with them. There was Sky Sports analysts there. There was one man in particular who works for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. His name, absolutely coolest name in history, D. Orlando Ledbetter. That's right, D. Orlando Ledbetter. He is basically the main writer for the Falcons team. He covers them every game they go to, and he's not a celebrity like, but he's pretty well respected and well known in the journalism world. And to be in the same company as him, was just phenomenal. And then so we were escorted over by the PR team, went to the field, and was literally there watching an NFL team practice. And I mean, for the past 9 years, it's been a dream of mine even just to watch them play, never mind being such a privileged position to be able to go and see them train. It was just absolutely phenomenal. And they are athletes. Now, I've said this a few times to anyone I've been speaking to. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care if you like American football or not. This, like pads, fake rugby, whatever the hell you want to call it, I'm just going to tell you right now, they're wrong. These men are absolute giants. They're absolute athletes. The smallest man on the team, the kicker, Young Wei Ku, is an absolute beast. Like, he's just built. And the quarterback come out, Matt Ryan. You know, the players that you were up close and personal with was just phenomenal. Absolutely massive, massive dudes. So we were on, we were pit side for about a half an hour then before the PR team chased us because we went into then game plans and practice, and they didn't want any of that being leaked to the media ahead of the match, you know, might give away what they were practicing. So then went back into that walled garden area, and as I say, you were just mingling with these people, and I eventually went over and I spoke to Mr. Ledbetter, who is, you know, more informally known as D-Led. And introduced myself and said who I was with, which was obviously the Irish NFL show. And turns out that on the Sunday morning before the game, he was due to be on their show. And he was like, oh, yes, I've been speaking to some people. It's funny he called it from your company. You know, I'm a volunteer writer there, and it's being referred to as your company. It felt crazy. And he said, you know, spoke for a bit and asked him about his trip. And he says, you know, it was nice to meet you, and I returned. And then we went over to the press conference, and this part for me was just surreal. You know, I look back at this hopefully as a novelty in the future and say, you know, I went to a press conference because I'm hoping that at some stage in my life will be normal. But as of right now, this past weekend wasn't in any way, shape or form normal. We sat at the podium, and out came Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan, a man who I've been watching on TV for literally 10 years. He is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He's got some of the most historic stats. You know, he's in top 10s in many different categories. And there he was, you know, literally no more than 3 meters away from me, answering questions. Now, I did ask Matt Ryan a question, but I didn't video it because I just wasn't thinking to video it. But I basically asked him about how does he keep the energy levels up over such a hectic week. Because this team, they flew in. They left Atlanta Thursday night, American time. Arrived in the UK in London on Friday morning. We're practicing Friday afternoon. Stayed right the way up so that they would beat the jet lag. We're up Saturday practicing slept Sunday, obviously, or slept Saturday night into Sunday, had the match, and then flew back to Atlanta immediately after. Like, the night of the game, they flew back. So I can't imagine how tired and how wrecked they are from that crazy trip. Anyway, then out came head coach Arthur Smith, and I, again, so lucky to be in a position where I was able to ask him a question. And I'm sure if you follow me on social media, you've seen me plaster this all over the place because I'm extremely proud of it. And I just would like to share, you know, that achievement with people. So for those that didn't, you and I have no choice. This is me at the Falcons practice on Friday morning asking a question to head coach Arthur Smith.
Hi, coach. With such a hectic schedule this week, how do you maintain focus throughout the weekend?
We don't look at it. It's like this. You either have this mindset of, oh, you complain, or you say, hey, you embrace it. And it's a hell of an opportunity. Like I said, we're excited as hell to be here. Both teams have to travel. Both teams traveled over the night. So you're dealing with the same set of circumstances. So your mindset, like I said, the Atlanta Falcons, we're excited as hell to be here. Our guys embrace it, and it's a cool atmosphere. I look at the changeup as good. You know, the monotony of the season sometimes. Yeah. That's what I said. There's two ways to look at it. You can sit here and complain and whatever, but that's not us. So, again, we're excited to be here and to be in front of our temporary Tottenham fans. So.
And how are you dealing with the jet lag so far?
I'm good to go. I'll guzzle coffee all day. It's got good coffee here, too.
Go back left.
So, yeah, what a moment that was. I was absolutely delighted with that. I'm sure I'll catch a bit of slack for my what my girlfriend Ashley has described as my journalism voice or my university voice coming through. It's slightly more pronounced than what my home accent would be. Simply because you have to. If I spoke like I was speaking now to the coach or to the players, they honest to God wouldn't have a clue what I was saying. So yeah. I'm sure I'll get a bit of grief about my journalism voice, which, you know, sometimes would sound like this here, and I would be very clear in my words, which, when you listen back to it, is obviously, how would I describe it? There's an element of cringe to it, but it has to be done if they want to understand you. So anyway, yes, head coach spoke, quarterback spoke, and then the kicker spoke, and then spoke with D-Led a wee bit more, and then headed back in my super fancy Uber back into London. But yes, this weekend was sort of dual purpose. So I was down to cover and watch the NFL. So I was there sort of on duty and as a fan. And then also took the chance to celebrate my dad's 50th birthday. So it's his birthday in a couple of weeks' time. But because I'm in uni, I'll not get the chance to go home. So my dad come over to London, and we spent the weekend together, and we went out Friday night, just sort of about London, and then Saturday we were attempting to find the best pint of Guinness in all of London, and we had a list drawn up, but unfortunately some of them were closed, and then some of them just ended up being too far out of the way for what was scheduled, and being slightly fragile from the night before, I think dampened our spirits a wee bit, but still, nonetheless, Saturday was fantastic. We started off, we went to the London Stadium, the West Ham football ground, should I say, in Stratford in East London. My dad's a big West Ham fan, and done the stadium tour there, and it is fantastic. It's an odd stadium. It was obviously purpose-built for the Olympics, and it's now being repurposed and used for football. So it's sort of stitched together in a way. You've the main sort of upper bowl, but anything beneath that is like patched together. So the like literally wheeled in seats here and put a set of seats here, and you do the tour and you get to walk out the tunnel and stuff, and you get to sit in the manager's seat. We're sitting in David Moyes' seat, and you're a mile away from the pitch compared to other stadium tours that have been lucky to do. The manager's seat is a mile from the pitch. It's also all picked to death around the edges. Obviously, in his nerves, he's been picking or poking away at the chair and done a bit of damage to it. But I suppose that, not that I would have any clue, but that's the pressure that comes with being a Premier League manager and now a Europa League leading manager as well. Just looking here now at a cup, a free complimentary cup that we got in the West Ham stadium tour. It was from when the baseball came over. It was the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees. And during the tour, they says, you know, you'll not come away from this empty-handed. You'll get a free cup that commemorates that game. And by free cup, I think basically what it meant is these were brought over and they couldn't sell them. That, you know, they must have brought that money that they're now just giving them away for free. So naturally, of course, because it was free, I took one and I'm sipping away from it. And in case you think I'm lying, here we go. Good old London Series Cup. So that was Saturday, the tour followed by the Guinness Pint Trail of London. Went to the 12 Pins, Finsbury Park, Faltern Fullback, Finsbury Park, the Dickens Inn in St. Catherine's Dock, I believe. There was somewhere else, and then we're all good nights. End up, we were in Wetherspoons in central London, and it was heaven, but a fantastic night nonetheless. And then Sunday morning, that was the morning of the game, so I had agreed with the lads at the Irish NFL show. They were doing a live show from a rooftop. I know, how fancy does this sound? A rooftop beside Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. So I was with them. And coincidentally enough, as I mentioned earlier, De Orlando Ledbetter was their guest for the day. So I was sort of the chauffeur. I was with them when the show started. And then had to contact De Led, go and meet him and basically bring him up. And now bear in mind, this man is a legend of the journalism game. And this man has seen probably spoke to hundreds of people over the weekend. And when I walked out the door to greet him, he said, "Hello, Michael, good to see you again." And the feeling of starstruck, excitement, and just, oh my God, that he remembers who I am, was just such an incredible feeling. Yeah, so spoke with him, brought him up to where the show was. He done his portion of the show, chauffeured him back outside, and then very fortunately, I was able to grab a 10-minute cameo on the Irish NFL show from Tottenham myself. To be able to say I've done an NFL preview show from a rooftop beside Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, it's mind-boggling, to be honest. If you'd have told me that a couple of years ago when I was working a couple of different jobs that I didn't like, I'd have laughed in your face and called you insane. But I'm just absolutely delighted that was the opportunity that I had. And again, thanks to Michael, Colm and Brian. Mark wasn't there, but thanks to Mark as well for the opportunity to be a part of that. And when the show was finished, then that was that. That was me officially, as I would deem it, off the clock. So I went then, I went into fan mode, was in and around the Tottenham area all day basically, from about 10 o'clock, half 10 until kickoff at half 2, just walking around meeting different people. I met a couple of people from Twitter, you know, just who I follow, and we follow each other, and I just recognised them from Twitter, so I was speaking to them for a bit. And then went to the game. Well, before we get to the game, I should probably mention the most disheartening thing I've ever witnessed in my entire life. Went to a pub. Now, obviously, you shouldn't be surprised by inflated prices, especially when there's major events on. But I went to a pub beside Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, and it was £8 for a pint. £8. And it was in a plastic cup. And it was a Guinness. And I get the plastic cup thing. Obviously, you can't have glass when there's 60-odd thousand people descending on the area. However, see if I have to witness once more in my life a plastic cup being set underneath a tap of Guinness, flat, and just being left to fill to the top. I'm going to have a mental breakdown and cry. I don't know whether this is just a pretentious Irish thing where we're so precious over our Guinness and it's showmanship of how it's supposed to be poured. But when you're literally just setting the thing flat and letting it fill up, it's just completely disheartening. And then you know, you either get a head that's about 4 inches big or half a centimeter big. It's just, anyway, £8 for that is what I paid. More went on a bit of a ramble there. I do apologize. It's a sensitive topic. But when the prices of a pint on the inside of the stadium are actually cheaper than what you're getting on the outside, I think that speaks volumes. And I was actually speaking to someone in the pub who is a Spurs season ticket holder. It says he frequents that pub regularly on game days. Match days, sorry, as they say in football. And he says the prices aren't that dear, but because, and he says they can't put them up any more, you know, any dearer than what they need to be on a Spurs match day, because that's local to the stadium. The people are going to know that they're doing that, and they're not going to go there because they're going to fall out with them. But because it was the American football, it's such a mixed clientele. You know, there's not going to be that many locals there that they can afford to hike the prices up, and no one's going to know any different. So that was frustrating. You know, having to fork out £8 a pint. Well, I say £8 a pint. I did it once and I was swiftly out the door because I wasn't for doing that again. And then into the stadium itself. Tottenham Hotspur Stadium is unbelievable. A few gripes. This is just me being completely and overly picky. The signage inside isn't great. Trying to find my seat was quite difficult. The rows aren't marked particularly well, so I sat for 5 minutes in row 14 when I was actually meant to be in row 13 until I was corrected. And then the queues, but obviously the queues are going to be at any event in any stadium, but I went at the start of half time because that's when obviously you go to the bar, but the rapper H was performing, and I had absolutely minus 10 interest in viewing that whatsoever. So went to the bar, and it wasn't until there was like 5 minutes left in the third quarter. I missed 10 minutes of game time, which in reality, if anyone knows American football, 10 minutes of game time is like half an hour of real life. So I was queuing for about 45 minutes, and I wasn't for getting anything alcoholic, just because I knew the prices were going to be so dear. And as I was talking to a fella from Offaly beside me. It's weird, you just bump into Irish people. And there was a fella in a Mayo top as well. You know, I don't know where these people come from, but there just always seems to be one. So talking to them two lads, and they were obviously lined up to get pints, and we've been waiting for ages, me and this fella from Offaly, and got literally the second in the queue, the pair of us, and they announced that they'd ran out of beer. And his heart absolutely sunk. I did feel sorry for him, to be fair. They ran out of beer. And that was that. But anyway, those are the negatives of the stadium. There are so many more positives. The arena that it is just absolutely spectacular. There wasn't a bad seat in the house in terms of NFL, because you can be so far away from the pitch at times, it's crazy. But felt close, felt like I could see everything really well. The national anthems at the start were incredible. Catherine Jenkins sang God Save the Queen, and then Marisha Williams, I think that's what her name was. I'll have to double check that. But she sang the Star Spangled Banner from the roof. Now, I'm sure you've seen this on social media or on Sky Sports or something. If you haven't, go to the Sky Sports Instagram and look at this. She sang the Star Spangled Banner from the roof of the stadium with fighter jets flying over. And like fireworks after, it was just incredible. One thing I will say is I was set in front of a rather rowdy bunch, and they did disrupt the anthem quite frustratingly. They stood, and you know, God Save the Queen was played, and they sang and applauded it. But then as soon as the American national anthem started to play, they got slightly rowdy, so it sort of ruined the rendition in that sense. But watching it back, it was just phenomenal. I am aware I'm doing a lot of complaining when I'm trying to say that my weekend in London was fantastic. It was unbelievable. And then travelling back into King's Cross, into London City at night, there's just such a buzz about the place. And to see every second or third person wearing an NFL jersey and know that you're all there for a common interest is just amazing. And hopefully I'll get the chance to do it again this weekend. Not the full weekend, but I think I'm going to be travelling down and back up from Derby to London on Sunday for the second international game, if I can afford it. So that was that. Stayed Sunday night, then got up, and for price comparison, then went to the Wetherspoons in the Wembley area on Monday lunchtime, where you could, not that I did because it was a Monday and I was quite wrecked after the weekend, shall we say. You could get pints for as little as £2.70. A pint of Guinness was £3.10. A pint of Heineken was £3.10. Some absolutely scandalous places. Although, as my dad rightfully described, that version of the Wetherspoons we were in was like a Monday morning in the Fosters. It wasn't there wasn't a lot of life about the place, shall we say. But yeah, £3.10, can't beat that. Got a big feed though. And then headed back up the road to Derby that evening, got the train back up. And here we are now. As I say, I don't know whether this is procrastination, boredom, or peer pressure. I feel like it's a combination of all three. Once again, just a thank you to Adam, Sean, Smitty. A big shout out and big congratulations to Smitty on his stand-up comedy debut. He's doing 10 minutes in the Pavilion this Monday evening. Monday the 18th in Belfast. I hope to God I've got that date right. I'm just going to have to check that while we're talking. But yeah, go give them lads a follow at DSA Podcast and at Talking Smith as well. While I check and see if I was right about Smitty. I was indeed. Monday night, the 18th of October in the Pavilion in Belfast. Again, I've just assumed the Pavilion is in Belfast. I'm not even checking that. I think it is. Go see Smitty do stand-up. I've seen a clip of his first set. Absolutely hilarious. He's absolutely killing it with the podcast game as well, as are the ASAP lads with a rebrand. They've changed things up a wee bit. They've got the wheels in motion with a roadcaster. And yeah, they're spending a lot of their time giving me jip, and rightfully so, because I didn't bother to get the finger out there for probably nearly 2 months with this podcast stuff. But I didn't want to force it. I didn't want to put out something that wasn't worth listening to. And bear in mind, you've just spent 27 and a half odd minutes listening to me ramble, so I'm not even sure if that was worth listening to, but here we are at the conclusion of this episode. So listen, I don't particularly know when the next episode's going to be. That's the truth. I don't know what it's going to be about, but hopefully it'll be soon. Hopefully I've finally got all the equipment and stuff set up in my halls. It'll not be as long between episodes, I can promise you that. So I just want to say thanks very much for listening. If you do want to follow me on the socials, it's at the McLav Podcast on Instagram, at MichaelLavery98 on Twitter, and at Michael Lavery on Facebook. But yeah, thanks so much for listening. And I will see you all in the next episode of the McLav Podcast. Perfect. Cheers.